Well, it's good to be here with you this morning. If you have not had an opportunity to meet my wife, Marie, she's right down there where I was sitting. So if you didn't get a chance to meet her, I would invite you to do that. It's good to see all of you. So many nice-looking people. All right. If you would stand, we're going to read our scripture this morning. And I'd like to invite your attention to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. And the title of my message this morning is Spiritual Investments. Spiritual Investments. Ecclesiastes 11, 1 to 6. And if you just follow along with me. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. All right, let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts about this thing of spiritual investments. Lord, may you use your word to speak to us, and Lord, may it do a work in us today. Father, we ask for all these things, Lord, and your strength in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. A man was almost 80 years old, loved to play golf. But his vision wasn't good anymore. He always had a few guys that would go out with him so they could watch where he hit the ball, tell him where it went. One day his buddies didn't show up. It was a beautiful day for golf, and he was getting upset that he couldn't go out and play his round. Another older gentleman in the clubhouse saw him and asked if something was wrong. The man explained his predicament and how his buddies helped him because of his vision to watch where the ball went after he would hit it. Older gentleman said, "That's no problem. I have 20/20 vision, and I can ride along with you so you can play." And so they went to the first tee, and the old man hit the ball right down the center. He turned to his spotter and said, "Did you see it?" The old man said, "I saw it all the way until it stopped rolling." Then he asked, "Well, where did it go?" And the old man paused for a minute and said, "I forgot." Life has a certain amount of risk to it. But that's where faith comes in. Sometimes we are tempted to wonder whether anything that we do for God really matters. We pray for a friend, but does our prayer ever get answered? We share the gospel, but does anyone get saved? You never know, or at times it feels that way. This morning, we all need to remember, nothing ventured, nothing gained. There is no waste to our lives, in a sense, as Christian people. Think about it. God has you still here. Why? To give him glory. in all of your life. And you know what? If he didn't want you here, you wouldn't be here. I have people tell me all the time, they say, Pastor, why did the Lord leave me here? He left you here to glorify him. And so when you invest your time, your talent, and your treasure to do God's work, it is never wasted, and it always brings dividends. This morning, I want to remind you that all of life is a stewardship. I think one of the songs that we had there mentioned that. It is a stewardship. One day we will stand before God and give an account as Christian people for what we did for God. You know, it's like the old song, only what's done for Christ will last. Some Christian people have only what's done for Christ is last. So we need to be aware of that because we will give an account for what we have done. Solomon first tells us if we are going to make spiritual investments, we should diversify. He says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, verse 1 and 2. Now, maybe in a way, you know, when you hear that phrase, cast thy bread upon the waters, it seems like you're seeing a little child maybe put a piece of bread on the water, watch it float away. But as he uses that phrase, it's a common thing for, especially for towns where they would take great amounts of grain and they would put it on a ship, cast thy bread upon the waters, right? And it would go somewhere, hopefully, and bring a return. And so he says here, diversify. To put it another way, don't put all your eggs into one basket. Expect the unexpected. Now, if you've ever watched the Dow Jones Industrial Average, you understand perfectly. Because really, in reality, you never know what may come of the stock market or anything like that. I had a brother, my brother, he worked in the stock market for quite a while. And he said to me, he goes, Kurt, he goes, that's legalized gambling, really, more or less what it is. But he just made mention to me that when he traded, you could lose incredible sums of money. And you can, but yet people would invest. We are to cast our bread upon the waters. Don't keep track of it. Take a risk. Don't wait for a letter of thanks. Step out by faith and see what God will do. And you might be surprised by what he does do. So spiritually, we should cast out the word of God. And when I think of this, I think of Luke chapter 4, the sower and the seed, right? The sower casts the seed along the path, and he throws it carelessly. Jesus said sometimes the seed, which represents the word of God, is ignored, disbelieved, discarded. But every once in a while, sometimes it is believed and brings forth 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And so as you and I cast out the word of God, we may feel like we're getting nowhere. But in fact, we may be exactly where we need to be. That's the hard thing about, I think, the ministry for me is because, you know, if you're working in a factory, and I've worked in a factory, I've worked secular jobs before. I was in the Navy as well. But sometimes when you work a secular job, if you're in a factory, you can see what you're making. And at the end of the day, you say, hey, I did so many of these. I produce today. But in the ministry, it's a little bit different because sometimes you can cast out the word of God and sometimes you can work for the Lord and not see immediate results, maybe even not in your lifetime. But God's word never returns void. It may not give a return tomorrow, next week, or for years. But you can expect a return. Maybe when you're living, maybe not. Cast your bread upon the waters as well in forgiveness. I think this is something that Christian people need. Amen? We need to learn how to forgive other people. Today we live in a world where everybody carries their feelings on their sleeve. Man, they are offended by practically nothing. You know, I mean, you can look at them the wrong way and they're offended. You can forget to shake their hands and they're offended. When I grew up, people weren't like that. And I think personally that Christians need to develop a thick skin and learn how to forgive and learn that most of the things that we get mad about are not worth getting mad about. And most of the things that we give credence to and importance to may not be on a personal level that important at all. Cast out your bread in the waters of forgiveness. Forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Cast your bread upon the water in generosity. I can say that in my Christian life, I've seen some generous people who were God's people. I've seen some generous people that outside of church that wanted to be a part of what was going on. And, you know, I kind of, you know, one time somebody gave some money for the church to the old Methodist preacher, Sam Jones. And the guy said, "Do you mind that it's from a non-church-going man?" And Sam Jones said, "Well, the devil's had it long enough, you know, so let's get that in and make it produce." And so cast your bread upon the waters in generosity. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Don't you hate Christmas sometimes? Everybody gives a gift in order to get a gift. The real thing about giving is that when you give, you don't expect anything in return. I think we've forgotten that too. Give and it shall be given unto you. It is more blessed to give than receive. Then next, God says, trust him in our spiritual investments. Verse 3 to 5. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Sometimes we feel helpless in the world, in a world that's dangerous and unpredictable. Because of sin, we can't leave our homes unlocked. We can't leave our valuables out. I've been to some churches where you can't leave your Bibles out. And you can't leave them unattended. And you can't trust strangers on the phone. People call for all sorts of reasons, and today they would take everything from you and think nothing of it. They want all your personal information. The winds are unaccountable as well. A tornado never announces its schedule in advance. For those folks down in Texas, storms do not announce themselves in advance. Who would have known that was coming but God himself? And so a wildfire may come along and destroy a neighborhood. And to the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, who ever existed, the world is like the wind, uncertain and mysterious. Some people are paralyzed by uncertainty. They say, life is so uncertain, let's just give up. And there's a truckload of people like that today who are down on everything and seemingly have given up on life. Listen, as long as God has you alive, don't give up living. I hate when people imprison themselves and refuse to reach out to the world that wants to embrace them and take the gospel or do something for God besides worrying about tomorrow. Solomon says to that, life is uncertain, but we know the one who's in control, and so let's roll up our sleeves and go to work. Remember, Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, fed over 5,000 with leftovers. What was he saying there? You think you have little to offer? You have a lot. You think you don't have anything to contribute? You do. You think that your talent is unimportant? It isn't. Or it is important, rather. You and I should remember that whatever we have, God can use. Sometimes people just get to the point, they say, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, what can you do? I always tell people, if you can still talk, you can do something. I know of a lot of people that talk on the phone, but they don't relay anything about the gospel. They talk a lot. So talk about something worthwhile. Notice here he says the question that Jesus would often ask. He said, where is your faith? Let him take the small amount of faith that you have, the small amount of talent that you have, and multiply it for his glory, because there's someone out there who needs to hear from God and to see the testimony that you have, and only you can give it. Because God has commanded us to cast our bread upon the waters, we are to do this. Whether the rain is trustworthy or the wind tosses our hair or the barn, we are to trust God, whether we understand his works or even how a child's bones grow in the womb of an expecting mother. Spiritual investments are God's domain. We should leave them in his care. And then he says here, be bold in your spiritual walk. Verse 6, let's read that. In the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening, withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So he says here, since life is uncertain, make your spiritual foundation certain and strong. We are to seize each day and wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You say, Pastor, I'm not a morning person. Well, be one in that regard. Wake up with the certainty that you're thankful you're alive. One more day to breathe and do something for God. Raise Christ's banner. Set our thoughts to things which are eternal. As he says here, in the morning, our youth, sow thy seed. In the evening, when you get older, withhold not thy hand. Isn't that the way it is? You raise kids, you don't have any money. You send the kids away, then all of a sudden you do have money. you say to the Lord, Lord, I needed the money when I was raising the kids. But that's the way it always is, usually. Very few people have everything that they would want financially to help their kids with, but I will say this, that children need to realize that money doesn't grow on trees, too. And so he says here in the evening, older age, withhold not thy hand. Remember the hymn that we sing from time to time? Sowing in the morning, sowing in the evening, sowing at the noontimes and at the dewy eve. By and by the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We want everything instant, don't we? We gauge everything by numbers. We gauge everything by the very thing that we shouldn't. We are to be faithful, right? We are to be faithful, men and women of God. God sends all of us who know Him to sow the seed of the Word of God in this world. And you can sow it in so many ways, through your children, through a letter, through a Christmas card. There are so many ways to spread God's Word. And we live in a world that increasingly is hostile toward that very thing. And so God wants us to be men and women and boys and girls who care about His plan in the world and the very thing that He wants me to do. Luke Short was converted at the tender age of 103. He was sitting under a hedge in Virginia when he remembered a sermon he had heard preached by the famous Puritan John Flavel. And as he recalled that sermon, Short asked God to forgive his sins right there, then and there, through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he lived for another 3 years. And when he died, the words on his tombstone were these, quote, "Here lies a babe in grace, age 3 years, who died according to nature, 106. The remarkable thing was that the sermon Mr. Short had heard had been preached 85 years previous to that time he had come to Christ. Nearly a century between the sowing and the reaping. Cast your bread upon the waters. What God will do, you never know. But you will never reap if you don't sow."